Guatemala's civil war may have ended some 12 years ago, yet violence, poverty and a culture of impunity continue to plague the lives of people living in the Central American country. That was the view of one of the nation's church leaders as the UN stepped up efforts to stamp out corruption and illegal armed groups, largely seen as the legacy of the country's 35-year civil war. Last year, over 6,000 people were murdered, yet less than 100 of those crimes ever made it to the courts. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has appointed Spanish prosecutor Carlos Castresana to head an international commission against impunity in Guatemala, with the aim of restoring trust in institutions like the police and the judicial system.
We have to say, after maybe 10 or 12 years of this accord of peace, there is still a very big work to do.
Bishop Victor Palme heads the Diocese of Escuintla and was among the Guatemalan church leaders received by Pope Benedict for their ad limina visits in the Vatican in March. During that meeting, the Pope expressed his concern for the increase in poverty and violence, which continues to plague the lives of so many Guatemalans, despite the peace accords signed in 1996, which put an end to Latin America's longest and bloodiest Cold War conflict. Bishop Palme told me that although political violence has diminished, the problems of poverty, unemployment and discrimination continue unabated.
After the so-called Acuerdos de Paz, that is to say the according of the peace from 12 years ago, the situation of Guatemala is in some aspects is worse because, for example, there is no respect for the life, for the human life. Today in Guatemala, it's easy to know about 10, 15 or 20 persons every day they are killed in the streets by this fact of violence. What kind of violence? There is no more political violence, but there is a violence of the delinquency and the organization of the crime. It's a fact in all of Latin America, but in Guatemala it's a little bit worse because after the Acuerdos de Paz, there is a poverty. The poverty and the very few possibilities of work, this made the people to make immigration toward the United States, for example, or many other people, they work for this crime organization. And this is one of the facts. Another kind of respect to life, there's no respect to life, is this fact of the policy. It is better if there is no more children. because they said, no children, no poverty. And well, this is not the situation. Because in China, 1,500 million of people, well, we need no few people, but more opportunities of job and study, for maybe the human development.
So what kind of efforts are the bishops doing? What kind of solutions are you proposing to these serious problems that you're talking about, unemployment, organized crime, and policies which don't encourage people to have families?
Well, we are calling the attention of the government, for example, the last government and now the new government, to increase the economic aid to this situation, for example, to look for more job opportunities, more health opportunities, healthcare opportunities, more chances for the people to live. Because the temptation is to repress the crime, to more soldiers, money for army, for example. And the people needs an increase economic aid for the job, for the scholarship, for the health. For example, there are big population of women in Guatemala, and maybe it's possible to look what kind of job for these women. So we are calling the attention of the government, the authorities, not only the central government, but the local government in the little cities of Guatemala.
Is the problem largely amongst the indigenous population of Guatemala, the people who have traditionally been the most persecuted and most deprived members of society?
It is still a big problem. It's a pity to not say that, but it's true. There is some kind of racism still. There is some kind of margination still. Imagination not only toward the Indian cultures, but the women, Indian women. It's a very sad situation, because you know, never in history there have been aid, and not now still. There's some kind of effort of our governments, but they need to look at these people with a very human and a very responsible view for these Indian people. You know, Guatemala is more of the 50% Indian.
How much is the voice of the church heard in calling for solutions to these problems?
They hear the voice of the church. They know the church, Catholic Church at least, have any interest in doing so, any economic interest, any political interest. They hear the church. But, you know, in politics, they have many pressures of the high churches, some high churches, economical high churches, some interests of the, the organization of the crime. But they know, and they search, sometimes they search for the voice of the church in doing that.
Pope Benedict also talks about the spreading of sects, the Protestant sects, across your country. How serious a challenge is that?
It's a very, very serious challenge, because, you know, Guatemala is the most increased country in Latin America in this aspect. That is to say, today in Guatemala, maybe the 45% of population has became a member of the sects. It is not Protestantism, it is not evangelism, it's a strange kind of in religious groups, because the people is looking for security. They're looking for the economical blessing of God, and they're promising that. But it's a very large tradition, because from the 18th century, and in the last century, they came to Guatemala, these evangelical groups. But today, they're offering security in economics, in family situation. They are offering a strange kind of security. It's impossible, because, you know, it does not depend only from the will of our God, but it depends on the human compromise for the change of the situations. But they are offering this, and the people is going to this. In other hand, some kind of opinions, they said, well, the Catholic Church is some kind of political movement, it's a kind of cultural movement, but you find Jesus Christ and the very face of God in these groups. They're saying that.
What kind of solutions are the bishops offering? Are you trying to dialogue with these sects?
Well, first of all, there's not possible an ecumenic work with these people, because they are not they are not Protestants, they are not Lutherans, they are not Anglican. They are a new kind of religion. So it's not possible an ecumenical dialogue with this. But we are looking for the people, because the persons are victims of the situation of the sects. So the church is looking for a new evangelization, that is to say, a more family church, more Bible, for example. They have a business in that. They have a business in that. There's the problem. They take the people, they ask for everyone something kind of the tenth percent, of the economical income of these people. And we're trying to say, well, open the eyes, because there is, falsity in this. But we are trying to get more, few little groups of persons, and a new evangelization in culture, in Bible, in family values, and to meet this the people is afraid. So our hope and our force is Christ. We're trying to say that.
You mentioned the peace accords from 12 years ago, after such a violent period of Guatemala's history.
How has the process of healing and reconciliation been successful, if you like, in getting over the wounds of the past? Or are there still problems which remain from that period of military dictatorship?
Well, according to the United Nations report, it's a very big work to do still, because we have two big problems. Impunity, if you call that impunity, that is to say, there are people who have commit gross, very big crimes, and then there is no justice for this. And there is still a wound, open wound, in the poverty, the distribution of, not of the richness, but the opportunities. There is still any distribution of these opportunities. And there is another one, for example, in the creation of scholarship education opportunities. So we have to say, after maybe 10 or 12 years of this according of peace, there is still a very big work to do, because there was a political according and financial according too, but the very big causes of the problems, they are still in the deep of our history.
The church itself was affected, wasn't it, by these terrible crimes, human rights abuses? One of your own bishops was, of course, a victim, wasn't he?
Yes, something like 10 or the 18 priests were killed, and a bishop too. What is the reason? I don't know. Maybe there is no clarity, there is not in one of the positions, but in general, they were good men, even the bishop, Monsignor Gerardi, but they were defending the voice of these people who had not voice in opinion and in the developing and the showing the deep situation. So it was the wounded, the church was wounded for these people, and the reason is they are trying always to stop the voice of the church, to make the silence of the church. It was in the recent past. Today is another kind of policy. But something still in the deep is trying to say, well, the church has nothing to say in this situation.
And my thanks there to Bishop Victor Palme of the Diocese of Escuintla in Guatemala.